This episode of the Daily Observations is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online activity and get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package at expressvpn.com/TDO. Time for bed, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Friday, the 17th of March, 2023. I am your host, Ken Seamus O'Ray, joined today by Jeff Seamus O'Butts, managing editor of the Mac Observer. Top of the morning and Lucky Charms and stuff.
Well, Joy and Bogora, it's good to be here.
I think you need to clear your throat. You sound weird. I'm not even talking to whoever that is. Second part of today's show, in search of a good night's sleep. Jeff and I talked earlier this week about setting up a sleep focus in the health app for iPhone and Apple Watch. One of us actually did it, but which one? Stick around and find out. First, though, did you see the movie Dick Tracy?
Of course.
Yeah, there's the part in that movie where Tracy is going over and over, is my enemy's enemy my friend, or is my enemy's enemy my enemy?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't help but think about that Thursday when I was reading the words of Morris Chang, who put the fear of God in me. I don't mind telling you. Now, you may be wondering who Morris Chang is. Well, according to a piece from Bloomberg, Chang is the founder of Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, or TSMC. They are, of course, the company that cranks out A-series and M-series processors for Apple, as well as a bunch of other chips for a bunch of other customers. He was speaking at an event in Taipei on Thursday, and his message seems to be that the party is over, which, you know, stinks, because I didn't realize we were having one. But,
yeah, I didn't get my invitation.
Yeah, no, apparently it was good times. We just didn't know it. At the event, the 91-year-old industry pioneer said, in the chip sector, globalization is dead. Free trade is dead. Just look at the way China has been embargoed and the entity list. He's on board with that, by the way. He thinks that's a great thing.
Okay.
Now, I had a rough idea of what free trade was, but as a refresher, I turned to Investopedia. It says a free trade agreement is a pact between two or more nations to reduce barriers to imports and exports among them. Under a free trade policy, goods and services can be bought and sold across international borders with little or no government tariffs, quotas, subsidies, or prohibitions to inhibit their exchange. And we're done with that, near as Mr. Chang can figure.
Okay. Why?
Why? Have you seen what's going on between the U.S. and China?
Yeah, but that's the U.S. and China.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the U.S. and China, but that's whomever and whomever at some point, isn't it? Or whoever and whoever.
Well,
back up. As far as what's going on with China, Chang is all on board with that. The part where the U.S. is hindering tech in the Middle Kingdom, he's cool with, saying, I certainly support that part of American industrial policy to slow down China's progress.
Okay. So globalization might be dead in mm-hmm. that we're not going to just have free trade with every country in the world. China, we're not going to.
Right.
Other countries, we do have better relationships with.
Right.
Because they are allies.
Right.
The day that we treat anything in Taiwan as an ally, an official ally to the United States in any form or fashion,
yep,
will be the day that the People's Liberation Army starts sailing, marching, airdropping into Taiwan.
See, here's
does Mr. Chang, I know you're listening. I know you're listening, Mr. Chang. You want China to invade you that badly?
I don't think that's what he's saying necessarily. I think honestly what he's saying is, well, let's back up like five or six steps, I guess. First of all, the guy's 91 years old, so he's looking over a long period of time, right?
Yeah.
Additionally, he is no longer involved with TSMC, although he is revered in Taiwan and certainly in the Taiwanese chip sector. Okay, so you got that too. I think what he's honestly being is realistic about where Taiwan stands, which is, like, you know, in a fairly precarious position. Like, right now, it works for the U.S. to have Taiwan there doing the things that it's doing for them. But according to the piece that I was reading in Bloomberg, the Pentagon is actually war-gamed. Like, okay, well, let's say China did take over Taiwan. How do we destroy the Taiwanese semiconductor manufacturing process? I mean, they're not our buddy, I believe, right, is what he is saying. I mean, the question is my enemy's enemy my friend, or is my enemy's enemy my enemy? I don't think he's saying that the U.S. is Taiwan's enemy, but he's not willing to say that the U.S. is necessarily Taiwan's friend, because, you know, when it comes to it, the U.S. is the U.S. friend first. It's kind of crazy to me to read. And certainly they probably war-gamed other stuff as well, or come up with other situations where they're able to save that. But it's kind of crazy to me that there is some level of thinking that's like, we want China to not have advanced semiconductor manufacturing so bad that we're also willing to not have advanced semiconductor manufacturing.
Wow.
That we're willing to sink the whole thing.
I didn't know that we had wargamed that particular scenario.
Well, that's what Bloomberg says.
I know that there are ongoing war games, you know, to try to repel or slow down an invasion, and they don't end well.
Yeah. Let's go back a bit to something else that he said when he was talking specifically about the U.S. When American leaders speak of friendshoring high-tech manufacturing, Taiwan is not included in that policy, Chang said, as they've repeatedly voiced concerns about relying on Taiwan. Now, friendshoring was also not a term that I was familiar with. It's apparently something that U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen mentioned last summer. Mm-hmm. According to a piece from CNBC, the term draws on the concepts of onshoring and nearshoring, which basically means bringing manufacturing back into your own country. Friendshoring goes beyond that, but limits supply chain networks to allies and friendly countries. And the guy from Taiwan who basically started that country's semiconductor dominance says when the U.S. talks about friendshoring, the U.S. is not talking about Taiwan. I mean, he seems to see, I don't know if he's seeing himself or Taiwan's position as purely mercenary, or if he's seeing the friendship of the U.S. as purely mercenary. And, you know, again, I can't blame him because apparently we looked at ways to, you know, pull the legs out from under Taiwanese semiconductor manufacturing, you know, should it come to it.
Yeah, I get that. You know, I go back, though, to if China didn't insist on claiming Taiwan as part of its own sovereignty, this situation would not be an issue.
Well, okay.
You know, we can't treat Taiwan as a friend in the way that we do other countries because of exactly what I said. The minute we do, the PLA is going to start rolling over Taiwan.
Well, it kind of makes me wonder about, and obviously, again, he was not part of the whole Arizona fab thing that TSMC is now doing, you know, here in the U.S.
He knew about it.
Well, I'm sure he knew about it.
He's had a lot of influence on it from some of the reports that we've read.
Well, then I wonder what that factors into all the comments that he made. I mean, it's stuff like that. And I know there is so much I don't know about economics. I know there is so much I don't know about globalization. But let's just do that one thing. TSMC is building factories in Arizona. That gives us some vested interest in how, you know, Taiwan fares. And I would think it would give them some vested interest in having a good relationship with the U.S. Although, again, he just seems to see the whole thing as, sure, things are great right now, but don't count on it. The way Bloomberg puts it, Chang said China is at least 5 to 6 years behind Taiwan in chip-making technology, but he also cautioned Taiwan should not be naive about its position relative to the U.S.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing.
It sucks, yeah.
Problem is now, I need a nap. We'll talk about sleepy time in just a moment, but first a word from today's sponsor, ExpressVPN. There are plenty of reasons you might not want people to see what you are seeing online. especially your internet service provider. Maybe you're looking up health information. Maybe you're researching a controversial topic. Maybe you're just shopping for a new car. You don't have to be looking for anything particularly interesting for companies to be interested in what you're seeing. Here in the U.S., your ISP can legally sell your information to ad companies. And even using something like incognito mode will not protect you. Your ISP can still see every site you visit. If you want to stop that, use a good VPN like ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your ISP can't see the site you visit. And they take the Express part seriously. ExpressVPN won't slow down your connection. In fact, I've had ExpressVPN running the whole time Jeff and I have been recording with no lag in performance. ExpressVPN is available on all of your devices, phones, computers, even your smart TV. So there is no reason to not use it. Protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by Business Insider. Visit our exclusive link, expressvpn.com/TDO, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/TDO to learn more. expressvpn.com/TDO. Jeff Butts is with us today. He is the managing editor of the Mac Observer online at macobserver.com. Time for bed. That's what my Apple Watch tells me. Very, very, very late in the night. We talked earlier this week about, I can't remember exactly, because it's National Sleep Week, apparently, or Sleep Awareness Month, or I don't even know. From the thing that we started talking about earlier this week, I've now seen five or six different articles about sleep. So forgive me, I can't remember exactly what it was that we were talking about, except I do know that we challenged each other to maybe set up a sleep schedule in the iPhone or on Apple Watch. I know one of us did. Did you?
I challenged you to do it. I've had it set up for years.
Oh, okay. Fine. Well, yeah, I did it. And boy, did that go poorly the first night.
Oh, yeah? Why's that?
Well, I got 9.5 hours sleep, which is great.
Okay.
That is significantly more than I intended to, and it put me behind actually for about a day and a half because that's how tight I run my work schedule.
Oh.
So I don't like it when my watch makes noise. And so I have like notifications turned off on my watch. I'll get like a haptic feedback thing, but I won't get any noises.
Okay.
And so I had the bell like sort of, you know, crossed out on the Apple Watch Control Center. And that apparently overrode the alarm for the sleep schedule because I didn't come close to waking up at all. Slept like a rock, slept like a baby, got lots of, like I say, 9.5 hours of sleep, which was a mistake. But I do have that set up now. Basically, my watch pings and chirps at me all day long, but now it's actually waking me up with the haptic feedback and with the, you know, whatever alarm sound I've chosen there. So I guess that's going pretty well. Wednesday night into Thursday morning actually tends to be my busiest time. So I basically just stared at it while it said, hey, it's time for bed. I was like, right. No time for you. I got plenty of other stuff to do. Otherwise, though, it seems to be working out okay for me. The only problem that I'm having now is I am constantly afraid that my watch is going to die because I'm used to leaving it, you know, on the charger all night.
Yeah.
Although it's a new enough watch that if I charge it for like 30 or 40 minutes sometime during the day, it's going to be fine.
Get you the extra time. Yeah.
Yeah.
On that alarm issue, you know,
yeah.
you can set your alarms not to mirror between your iPhone and your watch.
So I remember looking at that when I was setting the whole thing up and thought, no, I want the haptic feedback to sort of wake me up because that might be a better or gentler thing. And honestly, I have appreciated that much more than I have the alarm.
Okay.
I did think about going back and changing it, though, and I can't find where to do that. So maybe you can tell me later, or
yeah,
or maybe I'll just stick with what I've got, because honestly, it seems to be working out okay for me. Now, I will tell you, part of my paranoia about my battery might actually have to do with a problem that the special lady friend is having. All of a sudden, and I think it was with the last watchOS update, all of a sudden her battery is draining like a sieve. Like, she's actually having to, she's missing stand goals now because she's having to charge her watch so much. And the problem is she'll actually forget that she left it on the charger and, you know, find out later that, it's not been recording any of my stand. She's still getting the sleep thing, but she's having to charge it at least twice a day now. Has not taken it back to factory settings yet and then restored from backup. She's done just about everything else but that. She's trying to avoid that hassle for some reason. Yeah. But it's been kind of a pain for her, which I guess is sort of where some of my paranoia comes from.
Right.
That and the fact that I'm used to my watch, you know, being on the charger for 5 or 6 hours, not the 50 or 60 minutes that I'm giving it now per day.
While we're talking about sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not Monday, but since we're already talking about Apple Watch sleep, we do have something in the mailbag we can dig out.
Okay. What do you got?
Jeremy wrote in after our discussion earlier this week, and he writes, "When there is talk of Apple Watch measuring sleep, I always question how accurate it is. I've seen reports that it is almost as good as dedicated trackers. My experience doesn't match. Here is a screenshot, which clearly I can't include, but I'll describe it, from last night with my Series 8. I'm not a maths wizard, but 7 hours, 36 minutes sleep plus 51 minutes awake does not seem to equal 7 hours, 43 minutes in bed. And that type of calculation is typically what I see." Okay, so on the screenshot, his watch recorded 7 hours, 43 minutes in bed,
mm-hmm.
7 hours, 36 minutes of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
My jealousy aside at him getting that much sleep, it broke down as 51 minutes awake, 58 minutes REM sleep, 6 hours, 11 minutes core, and 27 minutes deep sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Those stages do add up to the 7 hours, 36 minutes. So my supposition here, I just wonder, Jeremy, if maybe you've got your watch starting sleep mode before you actually get into bed. Maybe even wind down mode.
I was going to say maybe wind down, because that I know that I get into wind down 15 minutes before the actual sleep starts.
Yep. And you can change that. You know, you could have wind down mode 30 minutes before, 45 minutes before. I don't know what the max is. But I wonder if maybe it's starting to record the awake time as soon as it hits wind down mode.
Maybe so. You mean the in bed time?
No. It's not going to start in bedtime until you're actually laying down. It uses the accelerometer for that.
Seriously?
Yep.
All right.
It can actually detect when you're laying in bed.
I guess I need to do a bit more research here, because there are a couple of things. Like, I wish the app was clearer on how much of which type of sleep one should get, because it does explain what core sleep is and
REM
and the other one that I've already forgotten about.
Deep.
Deep, okay. Deep. Yeah, I wish it actually explained a bit more, like, you know, which one do you need more, but I don't know. Maybe you're just supposed to kind of figure that out after a while.
Yeah, it differs from person to person. Scientists can't even decide on a baseline amount for each stage.
Okay.
So one of the articles in the Apple Health app actually says that you should track your sleep over time and then make notes on how rested you feel each morning to get an idea of what you, as your own human, need in terms of sleep.
Well, then what do I have all these smart gadgets for?
To track
all
your
right.
sleep over
yes,
time.
I understand. Hey, if you have a question or a comment that you want to send our way, we would certainly love to hear from you. Our email address is observations@macobserver.com. Observations@macobserver.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter. We are at TMO Daily there. If you want to keep up with or comment on the stuff that I do for the Mac Observer, that would be neat. Both the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast and the Observation Deck hit the site Monday through Friday. Jeff, if people want to keep up with you or get in touch, would you please let them know the best ways to do so?
Yeah, you can email me at jeffb@macobserver.com. You can follow me on Twitter as @Clefmeister, and I also run the @MacObserver Twitter account.
Advertising handled by Backbeat Media, online at backbeatmedia.com. The Daily Observations is a production of the Mac Observer. From the latest news to how-tos, your source for Apple News is macobserver.com.